Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Germany made a dramatic U-turn this week after declaring in October that the country would become more reliant on nuclear energy. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, a physicist by training, announced Monday that her country would shut down all its nuclear plants by 2022. Nearly a quarter of German electricity production unplugged. Done. This spring's nuclear disaster in Japan rocked the German public and has swung the country's energy policy onto a bold new course. It will not be easy to replace all that power with wind and solar and more, and German industry is energy hungry. This hour on Point, Germany gives a big no to nuclear power, and the whole world is watching. You can join the conversation. Is this the future? No to nuclear. Will it mean cleaner energy? More reliance on coal? Should America turn away from nuclear power? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Berlin, Germany, is Marcel Viator, Program Officer for Energy and Climate at the Alfred von Oppenheim Center for European Policy Studies at the German Council on Foreign Relations. Marcel Viator, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Washington is Arne Jungjohann, Director for the Environment and Global Dialogue Program in the Washington office of the Heinrich Boll Foundation of North America, which is part of the Green political movement. He's former senior advisor for the Green Party in the Bundestag, Germany's legislative body. Arne Jungjohann, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be on the show.
Please join me in listening for just a moment here to the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel. This was her announcing on Monday the big change in Germany's nuclear policy.
Step by step, we will abandon nuclear energy by the end of 2022. This path is a big challenge for Germany, but it also means huge opportunities for future generations. We believe that our country can become a front runner for the creation of renewable energy.
Germany's chancellor there on Monday, Marcel Viator, she says step by step, but in energy terms, 2022 is just around the corner, 11 years to replace nearly a quarter of Germany's electricity production. What is behind this decision, Marcel Viator?
Let me come back once to the sentence that you said some minutes ago when you said that it was a major U-turn of German energy politics now. In fact, from my point of view, it's not a U-turn. It's neither a revolution that took place now after Fukushima. What we are witnessing now is the speeding up of a process that has started already some decades ago.
But it was only 6 months ago or less that Germany was pushing its nuclear production well out into the mid-2030s and perhaps beyond. And now, 11 years and done.
What they did was to prolong the lifetimes, the running lifetimes. But nevertheless, even that 6 months ago, the decision was kept by the current government to phase out of nuclear power only at a later point in time. So the policies of all the latest governments of different composition in Germany was to phase out of nuclear power at some point in time. Some said sooner, some said later. Now we witness after Fukushima and now with a decision by the government on Monday, again, a speeding up of this process. But this process has long been agreed on in the German society. And with regard to the question if 11 years or 10 years is quite around the corner or not, there are many experts considering that 10 years' time is not only possible, but that it would also be possible to do it earlier. Even the Ethics Commission, which was set up by the federal government, decided or reported that the latest point when we should phase out of nuclear power would be 10 years, but that it would be possible to do it earlier. So from a technical point of view, it is earlier, of course. The interesting part is the way how to manage this, how to do it. The sooner you make it, the more complicated it will be. The later you do it, the easier it will be, of course. But it is technically possible. And now politics, the government decided that they want to try it, to do it within 10, 11 years.
Arne Jungjohann in Washington, we've seen a letter from German Industry Group to the chancellor saying, don't do this. On the other hand, lots of political approval. And, of course, the chancellor was in a difficult political moment, and the Green Party was making some fresh inroads in elections there. You've got the French looking across the border, and here's the French prime minister saying there's no way the EU can meet its carbon emission-cutting targets without some nuclear power. But Germany's saying no to nuclear power. How do you interpret what's going on here, Arne?
Well, I think the discussion of Fukushima indeed had a big impact in combination with important elections that we had in Germany that made this conservative, rather pro-business, rather pro-nuclear government making this decision. And I think there's a new risk assessment after Fukushima, and that is basically arguing if even a society, a government like the Japanese is not able to handle these consequences, even though they prepared for tsunamis and for earthquakes, then which country is? And that actually accelerated the whole development as Marcel has described it before. I think it is important for the American perspective to see also that, yes, indeed, Germany and Germans are, they might be a bit more risk averse than other people. We had the experience of Chernobyl, of the radioactive fallout in the mid-80s.
Sure.
I remember being a child growing up, and people were running away from the rain because it was nuclear radiation coming down. So this physical threat is a real threat embodied in the German culture, and I think that's an important memory that we have that made us go this way. But on the other hand, people see just very good alternatives, that there seem to be much better alternatives than nuclear power in Germany, and those are environmentally more sound, but they also seem to be economically quite promising for a country like Germany.
Marcel Viator, you've got the French president Sarkozy saying that after the Fukushima nuclear disaster, he said it would be, quoting him here, crazy to close existing nuclear plants. A lot of people, Germany at one time, looked at nuclear as a bridge into a greener energy future. What is it about Germany's attitude or outlook here? I mean, you've got France next door, 80% of its electricity, 80% comes from nuclear plants. Germany had 22 or 23% or has currently. What's the difference in perspective between France and Germany, let's say, that leads Germany to this arresting decision?
As you point out, the differences between the French and the German energy and electricity mix are quite big. So for the French, indeed, it would not be possible to phase out at such a speed as we in Germany are going to try, are going to do. So the difference here is of course enormous, but also the attitude towards nuclear energy and towards other energy sources is very different in France than in Germany. I think Anna quite rightly put out some reasons why the Germans are more risk averse than other countries, and I might add one more. What some people said to me when I asked them what they think here, what is the reason why we are so much more risk averse than others, is that we, or at least some generations before us, witnessed the almost total destroyment of many German cities at the end of World War II, which was not the same situation in other countries in Europe, not that gross. So that might have also been engraved in the German psyche to fear that such a broad destruction of cities, of landscape, of parts of our country. And I think this plays also quite a big role, which then, since the 1970s, has helped develop an active and very very broad anti-nuclear movement here in Germany. Now even broadening with, as Anna quite rightly put out, even conservative people, members of the Conservative Party now joining this anti-nuclear movement.
It's really interesting. Arne Jungjohann, how do you replace nearly a quarter of a big industrial power's electricity production? I mean, they're talking about wind and solar. I'm looking here at one report that says they hope that those two will provide 35% of its electricity by 2020, up from about 13% today. That's a huge leap. And that they would reach 80% of the wind and solar would give Germany 80% of its electricity production by 2050. Do those look like realistic goals, aren't they? Or are you going to end up, will Germany end up falling back on, I don't know, coal or something else to keep those factories going?
Those goals seem to be very realistic. There are, a lot of experts are confident in Germany that we will reach those targets and likely succeed them. That happened in the past as well. I mean, this whole nuclear phase-out process started in the year 2000. There was a formal agreement between the utilities on the one hand and the government at that time on the other hand. So there was always the idea of replacing nuclear with renewable energy resources because Germany is poor of other of fossil resources. We have some lignite that is very dirty, but other than that, we import a lot of fossil fuels. So there was always the drive in Germany to get more efficient and to go more towards renewable energies.
But isn't there a little bit of a leap of faith here? I mean, are you sure you can do it? Or I guess if you can't, you can always buy more gas from Russia or something else if you fall short, huh?
Well, as I mentioned, in the year 2000, we had roughly 29% nuclear power in the power mix. And at that time, we had roughly 6% old hydro of renewable energies. And over the last decade, we ramped that share of renewables up to 17% today. Mm-hmm. And over the time, we always reached the targets that we set by the government. They were reached in advance. They were reached earlier than before. And the new target that you mentioned, the 35% by 2020, that one was actually set last October by the Merkel government before Fukushima. And we now expect that with the acceleration of the phase out, we will also have to accelerate the expansion of renewable energies.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Germany throwing the brakes on nuclear power, vowing to shut it all down after watching the meltdowns in Japan, and on an accelerated schedule. By the year 2022, nuclear power now provides nearly a quarter, 23% of all electricity production in Germany. By 2022, 11 years from now, they're saying enough with that. Marcel Viator joins us today from Berlin in Germany and the German Council on Foreign Relations there. And Arne Jungjohann joins us from Washington. He's been associated with the German Green Party, which is quite strong, and now with the Heinrich Boll Foundation of North America in Washington. Marcel, Arne, let me bring our listeners right in. Bill in Lake George, New York. Bill, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I just think it's a no-brainer. It's not really even a discussion. It's just the right direction to go. It's all benefits, and there's no reason to even discuss it. There's no drawbacks.
What if they don't make it to complete alternative energy alternatives and end up, you know, having to draw on carbon-based fuel that contributes to carbon in the atmosphere?
Well, I think they've already got that figured out. They're going to go in the right direction. They're going to use what their neighbors provide, which is fossil fuels and nuclear power. They'll use that to build the infrastructure of their windmills and solar panels that, you know, when's the last time a solar panel killed 1 million people or made 40 square miles of land, like in Japan, unlivable for thousands of years? It just doesn't happen. They already started 10 years ago subsidizing solar to the point that it, you know, everybody wants to put solar on their houses over there, so you have a distributed electric system that they're building very, very quickly, and we're not doing that in America, and they're gonna be way ahead of us. 40 years from now, they're going to be ahead of everybody, and they're not going to have any drawbacks, and we're all going to have these old nuclear power plants wringing our hands. What do we do with them? Because we want to have the cheap nuclear now. It's just they're doing the right thing. 40 years from now, they'll be laughing at us.
Bill, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Arne, let me put it to you in Washington there. Bill says it's a no-brainer. You've got it figured out, and you'll do it. Some of your neighbors are not so sure. The French industry minister says, you know, quoting him here, Germany will be even more dependent on fossil fuels and imports, and its electricity will be more expensive and polluting. Now, again, they're 80% dependent on nuclear in France. They can't really make this turn, not easily anyway. But how easy is it going to be for Germany to accomplish this, Arne? Could you do it tomorrow?
No, I don't think we could do it tomorrow. But I think what the German government has figured out is a long-term energy concept. You know, we have targets for climate protection. We have targets for renewable energies. And that provides a lot of investment certainty for companies. Remember that with a decision for going renewables in the year 2000 and phasing out nuclear at that time, at the first time, that was also a big incentive for German companies, but also for foreign investors for the German market. And we attracted a lot of foreign investment to put up solar manufacturing, to put up windmills. And so today we have a lead market in these renewable technologies and efficiency technologies, and we want to increase that because it's clear that globally the world will turn towards a low-carbon economy. Those markets will be gigantic, and we want German companies to lead on these markets because we are an economic powerhouse and we want to stay that way.
Marcel, what will be the biggest technical challenges to accomplishing this transition? What's required technically to do it?
Oh, there's many things, of course, that are required and that have to be dealt with, starting from the construction of wind parks, of the electricity transmitting lines, then going over to regulatory issues. You have to be able to use the land, to get the land used, to agree with the people that live nearby, with the population on which on their houses you want to put up solar panels, or whom you want to convince to put up solar panels on the roofs, and so on. You have to take those people on board somehow. This is a very democratically challenging task we have to approach. There are some proposals already made by this ethics commission to set up a person within the parliament who shall supervise this process. We want to set up a national energy forum where this process shall be monitored and where discussions with the people shall take place. So there are some ideas how to tackle these issues already, but we have to fill them with life. We have to make this happen, which is absolutely possible, but nevertheless, which will have to be done.
Do you need new technical breakthroughs, let's say in energy storage, in battery technology, for example? I mean, the wind doesn't always blow, the sun doesn't always shine, Germany has a long winter. Do you need technology that does not exist today for this to be doable?
I think we do, Tom.
Arne, yes, please.
What we realized in the past is that a lot of these renewable technologies are available in the lab, but only once you bring it into the markets, you have they get more competitive. You learn by experience, and that is the challenge ahead with the grid expansion that Marcel talked about, but also with developing battery and storage technologies. So one of the updates that we are expecting with the renewable energy law that the government now will put into parliament, one of those updates is higher incentives for renewable technologies that can feed into the grid electricity at a certain time, or that can store electricity and therefore react to the sun and to the wind. And so overall, our grid will get smarter.
Your neighbor down there, Mark Hibbs, at the Carnegie Endowment, says Germany will be a kind of laboratory for efforts worldwide to end nuclear power in an advanced economy. No other country in the world, he says, is taking those steps. Now, I've got a lot of response online here. Here's one listener. This is on Facebook, applauding, says, I think Germany's reaction to both the oil crisis and nuclear crisis is the perfect one. Force yourself to come up with an alternative, and you will. But here's another view. Says another listener says, I still believe nuclear is the perfect bridge to post-oil energy. Build smartly and safely and in smart and safe places. Yes, there will always be risks. Germany's move seems like an overreaction to this listener. Let's get a caller. Lexington, Kentucky. Dale, thanks for calling, Dale. You're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen. Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
The German culture well.
Okay.
I worked with Germans 5 months on the Bering Sea to make my money to go to university.
Good for you.
I worked on the Friedrichbusse. We were the first ship in Bering Sea after the North Atlantic was overfished, but that's just the way it goes. I think that this is going to be the second Wirtschaftswunder. Good for Germany. Good for Siemens. And shame on us, USA, for hiding what is happening to our environment in the subsurface in four dimensions, and why don't we have politicians like Ms. Merkel, who's a physicist in office, to understand the real realm of where we treaded.
Dale, do you have any doubt they can pull it off? Do you have any doubt Germany can actually pull this off?
Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. The Germans rock. We know that. We know that from driving Volkswagen Bugs. We know that from their Wirtschaftswunder 1 from World War II. We know their mentality. We know their ability to conduct business overseas in international companies. Where I've worked in Mexico, I've run into Germans in Venezuela that were trudging through Venezuelan coffee farms, grading coffee for poor Venezuelan farmers. This is a miracle, and they're going to do it.
Dale, I appreciate your call, but Arnie, we also know from German history the Wunders don't always show up when they're promised. They don't always. What's the risk for Germany in this? You hear Dale applauding, many others online as well, but is there? How do you judge the risk factor here, Arnie?
Well, there are risks with the current government decision. So I agree with the overall direction that Chancellor Merkel has announced yesterday. But the way that is currently set up is that these nuclear power plants will be phased out not gradually over time, but they over the next 10 years until 2021, there will be no more power plant being taken off the grid. So the situation is, since Fukushima, we have turned off 8 of these 17 nuclear power plants. The lights are still on. The trains are still going. So everything is fine. We have enough power supply. But if you want to transition towards renewable energies, you should do that gradually and in a way faster. You should not wait another 10 years to take off the next power plant, the next nuclear power plant. So I think the way the conservative government is setting this up is including some risks that are not necessary if you really want to go towards renewables and if you really want to phase out nuclear power.
The reaction we're getting online is very interesting. You've got a lot of straight-up applause saying, you know, congratulations, Germany, go do it. Other skeptics, here's one, William says the factories will just move to China, fewer jobs will be in Germany, and higher electric bills. And then you've got people saying, you know, Germany's going to end up leaning on other sources of energy, buying nuclear-produced energy from France or elsewhere in Europe, or buying carbon-based energy that may have, it sounds to me like a kind of thread of green concern here, that this could end up producing more carbon emissions. Let me get an American perspective, if I may. Marcel, please stand by there in Berlin, and Arne in Washington. With us right now from Washington as well is Charles Ebinger. He's director of the Brookings Institution's Energy Security Initiative. He's been an energy policy advisor to 50 governments around the world. Charles Ebinger, thanks very much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
So how do you look at Germany's decision? Are they going to, you know, look like heroes here 11 years down the road? Is this a brilliant decision? How do you look at it?
I think it's a very misguided decision. And I say that in the context that just on Monday, we had the International Energy Agency in Paris report that global carbon emissions are at the highest level ever in 2010, and that we're far off track in terms of the global community of getting our carbon emissions down to levels that won't threaten the planet. I personally believe this was an overt political decision by Mrs. Merkel. Everyone talks about, we had a member of the Green Party the other day say that nuclear power is not 100% safe, therefore it is dangerous. Well, on that basis, every energy technology is dangerous. And I would only point out that far more people every year die from coal mining, from mining polysilicon, from dams collapsing, gas pipelines exploding. There is no safe energy source that's 100% safe. And the Germans, I find very disappointing as a great technological nation, an exporting nation, that they don't want to kind of play in the game helping the rest of the world. For example, their neighbor to the east in Poland apparently has great shale gas resources, but Germany has been reluctant to play a role in developing shale gas. If they don't want to do it in Germany, why don't they want to help one of their EU partners who can also reduce their dependence on Russian gas if they do that?
But maybe they want to get beyond carbon and nuclear, and we're hearing today big real alternative energy hopes described.
Alternative energy for Germany. I'm talking about opportunities to help the rest of the world deal with the CO2 problem.
Now, why wouldn't those be one in the same? Let me ask you.
all of this. They're going to import nuclear power from Czechoslovakia and France. It's just an ill-conceived policy that really doesn't do much for the world community.
I hear the concern loud and clear, but I just want to clarify, if Germany is successful in pushing forward the frontiers of alternative energy, would that not be valuable to the rest of the world? That's what's being described here.
It will be valuable, but the question is at what cost? And the question is, aren't we better to have a diversified world energy economy, certainly push renewables as fast and as far as possible, but the vast resources in the world for the next 30 to 50 years are fossil fuels, coal, gas, and oil. So let's find a way to use those more effectively, more cleanly, and particularly coal, because India and China are going to continue to burn coal, and German technological know-how should be in the forefront of helping those nations figure out how to sequester CO2 so that we can use these tremendous resources to alleviate the poverty that many people will have for energy around the world.
Marcel Viator in Berlin, in Germany, what do you make of that line of critique that Germany is kind of letting down the rest of the world by not putting its technical prowess to work on energy sources that are already here but need to be used more efficiently? What do you say, Marcel?
First of all, I don't see the concern that we might miss our climate protection goals, because it is clearly stated that the phase-out of nuclear power has to be realized without endangering our climate protection goals. So this puts a cap on the possibilities to replace nuclear by fossil fuels and as a bridging solutions. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a risk in this, and I don't fear that we might end up producing more, emitting more CO2 than we should. So that's that as a first place. And I very much like this this idea of Germany as a laboratory for where the rest of the world can look at. Because first of all, what we're doing right now with this phase out and this phasing into renewable energy sources is a decision that we take independently from other nations, that we decide as Germany, as a society, that we would like to do it and try to do it within our borders at home. So first of all, no one should be affected by it in a bad way. Everyone can look at it how we are doing it. So if we fail, which is of course possible, which I don't think that it need be, which shouldn't be, but which is possible, then it would be of course a very bad signal to the world. If we cannot manage it in a way without also saving the competitiveness of our industry, without becoming economically attractive for investors, without attracting countries, especially exactly like China, like India, to consider this way and to consider if it wouldn't be feasible for them too, then of course it would be a bad signal to the world. But if we manage to do that, if we succeed, I think this could be a real signal to other countries around the world that it is possible. And I think here is the value of this German experiment on a global scale, and no one has to fear that what we are doing might harm them. On the other hand, it might bring them richer possibilities from which to choose if we succeed.
Charles Ebinger, we've just got half a minute before the break. How do you rate, and we'll hear a response, but how do you rate the chances of Germany succeeding here?
I don't think Germany will succeed. I admire them for trying. But, you know, the European financial houses are already suggesting that carbon dioxide emissions will rise in Europe as a result of the German decision. So I'm just saying we need some practical discussion on what we're going to do down the road. And the renewables alone are not going to solve the global energy problem.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Germany throwing the brakes on nuclear power this week, vowing to shut it all down after watching the meltdowns in Japan. Lots of resistance to nuclear power for a long time. They go all the way back to 1980 and the Green Party becoming a nationwide force there with an anti-nuclear campaign. Nuclear power, no thanks, in the year that they formed a political party in what was then West Germany. Flash forward to 2011, and instead of pushing nuclear power out into the 2030s, they're saying 2022 all done, that decision, this week, after some political lumps were taken by the Chancellor Angela Merkel there, and after the nuclear disaster following the tsunami in Japan. Marcel Viator is with us this hour from Berlin at the German Council on Foreign Relations. With us from Washington, Arne Jung-Johann. He's with the Heinrich Böll Foundation of North America, connections to the green political movement. And from Washington, Charles Evinger, director of the Brookings Institution's Energy Security Initiative. Lots of reaction here. People saying, you know, Jason says on Facebook, I want to move to Germany because of this. There's no reason not to head in this direction. This is more than heading. This is going headlong. But lots of bravos for that. Ron says setting this ambitious goal will spur innovation in smart grids, energy efficiency, building practices. Matt says these are goals that the U.S. should be setting so it can compete in the global economy. Gustavo says America's greatest resources are creativity. He wants to begin defunding 19th century energy sources so we can begin to fund 21st and 22nd energy solutions. But you hear Charles Evinger on the emissions front saying, watch out, Germany could end up being a drag on the efforts to reduce those. Rutland, Vermont, Robert's calling. Hi, Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I applaud the scientifically guided, if you will, decision by Germany. I got 2 points for you on that, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about carbon-based. Many people don't realize that the production of nuclear fuel uses tens of thousands of gallons of oil and or coal to produce it, so that's pretty well carbon-based anyway.
Okay.
And I know on the second point, I've heard mentioned about a bridge. I don't know if you're aware, or your guess may be, but back in the 50s, there was the General Advisory Committee on nuclear power, and they said that nuclear fission would be a bridge, if you will, or a transitional technology that, at that time, James Bryant Conant, who was the president of Harvard, said it would, by 1985, that they expected that that bridge would be passed by now.
Whoops.
So
didn't quite make that. So you're for it, and you're sort of wishing nuclear would have already served its function as a bridge and be behind us, I'm hearing, Robert.
It has been already, to be honest with you. If it hadn't been for the federal subsidies, and I don't even mean the U.S., let's get away from the U.S., but even in Europe, if governmental subsidies hadn't even backed France, where would they be?
Do you think Germany can do it? I mean, people are responding in all kinds of ways. There's some of them funny. Here, Scott says on Facebook, he says they should hire Hogan's Heroes to redesign their energy system. Those guys could make a radio out of a coffee pot. But seriously, do you think Germany can do it technically, Robert?
Oh, I do believe they can. I certainly do. No doubt about it.
Thanks for your call. Arne, there was a time quite recently, 6 months ago, Germany was talking about nuclear as its bridge technology, as an important part of its bridge. So if it's not going to be nuclear, this bridge is pretty short now, and nuclear is off the screen after 2022. What is the bridge if you can't be all the way, you know, into alternate wind and solar at all by 2022, Arne? What's the bridge?
I think what we observe here in Germany is the beginning of the solar age. The government and the society has decided we want to move beyond fossil fuels, we want to move beyond nuclear power, and we want to transition towards the solar age, bring down the cost of renewable energies, and that includes benefits for other countries, I think. So I would disagree with Charlie on that point. But on one thing, I think he raises an important concern, and that is the question of the bridge, and does this actually lead to increasing emissions in Germany. That is an open question, and that Germany will have to answer that by ramping up these renewables and efficiency. But most people think actually that this bridge, as nuclear is being described, towards a low carbon economy actually delays further investments in renewable energies. And that is what we currently see. By providing these new targets, these new incentives for renewables, investors, again, domestic and foreign investors, they're lining up. They're getting ready to put money on the ground and to invest in new offshore windmills and in onshore wind power in Bavaria and Baden-Württemberg. So that is more of a systematic conflict that we see that so far the nuclear power sector has been an investment block for new investments.
Germany is a huge global industrial power, but it's not that big physically. It's not that big geographically. Do you have enough room in the whole country for the volume of wind turbines and solar panels it would take to fuel German industry? I mean, German industry is enormous.
That is exactly right. We're 80 million people in a relative small place. I think maybe it's the size of Wisconsin or Montana. So it's a high density. That, by the way, is one concern of nuclear power, that we will not be able to handle any major disaster.
Yep.
And there, over the last 5 years or so, I would say a lot of people, a lot of engineers went to the drawing board and came up with suggestions and concepts how you would power an economy of the German size with 100% renewable energies. There are different concepts out there, and all of those concepts have been fed into the discussion of the German government. Again, a conservative government that is rather pessimistic in comparison to other German players on the role of renewable energies. And even this government says, look, we looked at the numbers by 2050, by half of the century, we can have transitioned to 80% renewables in the power sector. So it is possible, and I have to say, it is ambitious. It sounds ambitious. We are as sunny as Alaska in comparison. So that gives you an idea that there's not a lot of resources in this, and it still seems possible. And I would say if we had the winds of Texas, if we had the sunshine of California, and if the Germans had the biomass of New England, we would do it even faster.
Charles, I'll put that to you. Let me get a couple of listeners in here first. Vicky in Lexington, Kentucky. Vicky, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I fully appreciate Germany's efforts to push solar and renewable fuels, and that I feel that it's particularly admirable because the size of Kentucky is somewhat comparable to Germany, and we have about the same amount of solar energy available here in Kentucky. And I think that Germany has succeeded in something that we have not, and that they provide incentives and subsidies that coal and gas and other fossil fuels-based energies have had for some time now, in the sense that the policies that they have made with feed-in tariffs or production-based incentives and as well as efficiency measures make Germany a model for the government policy decisions that bring about a mature infrastructure that supports renewable developments. And I think their program is unique and is highly admirable, and I don't think that their efforts let anyone down. I think that that's a little absurd to imagine that their progressive efforts and work has let anyone down.
Vicky, let me take that and put it to Charles Eventure. And Charles, here's a couple of other listener comments as well. And thank you, Vicky. Here's Tina online. Says, isn't this what Germany is doing? The very thing that encourages private investors to put money into a field they're otherwise staying away from. If our country were this devoted to the concept, couldn't we increase private investment as well? And this from Joe, Charles. Joe says, thinking of Germany, says, this sounds a lot like President Kennedy's challenge to reach the moon within 10 years. We didn't know how we were going to accomplish that either. Germany's vision is a display of great leadership. What do you say to this perspective? We're getting a lot of it, Charles.
Well, certainly private investors will go if they are concerned. I mean, if they are aware of what government policy is going to be, they will flock in. And in that sense, the German policy is probably well articulated. The difficulty is whenever you have industries that are only viable economically because of government policies can change. We've seen that in our own country with wind and solar tax credits going up, going down, which has been a real thorn in the side of getting our industry off the ground. The question I would have, though, is I still worry about, you asked the question, about storage. You know, the two major sources we're talking about here, wind and solar, we have not proven yet. Now, Germany may be able to do that, but we have not proven yet that we can store wind and solar successfully. And they're putting a lot of the eggs on the basket on the assumption on a large scale that we are going to be able to do that. Otherwise, they are going to have to rely on fossil fuel imports or nuclear imports from some of their neighbors. And I think it's not that I disagree with what Germany's trying to do. I just think it's somewhat pie in the sky thinking they can do it over the next decade.
Marcel, what about this storage issue? Let's come back to it on the technical side. That's a real challenge all around the world. Do you see evidence currently on the drawing boards, in the research labs, in Germany, that there's something out there that will help Germany, you know, capture that wind and solar energy and keep it for those dark still days when it's not being produced?
The storage issue is, of course, very important. Everyone knows this, is aware of this fact. And also, to my understanding, it is quite unlikely that we will come up with, or anyone will come up with, one storage solution which will cover all the needs for storage capacities. What we are more likely to witness is a multitude of different storage ways of storing energy, be it in lakes up the hills, be it in power to gas technology, so the production of methane out of renewable wind and solar power. Will it be electric cars? Will it be hydrogen facilities? So there's a whole bunch of technologies which will have to come together. And there I see a lot of activities here in Germany and elsewhere around the world in the scientific sector. And of course, this decision again to phase out of nuclear earlier than we thought before will of course again boost this scientific research. The government in Germany is well aware of the fact that they need to spend more money on research, that they have to put more effort into the research sector, and I think at the end this might help a lot to come up with new storage technologies. But if I may also raise another issue that was addressed by Charles Ebinger when he said that renewable energies have the drawback that you have to pamper them, that you have to invest with government money into their development. I mean, that was the case too with nuclear power in the beginning. So this is nothing that would have been only the case with renewable energy sources. And on the other hand, if you let me make one more comment on this cost assessment. Now, if you think about the Japanese economy right now, they of course face the need for a lot of investments for reconstruction in their country, and not only due to the earthquake and the tsunami, but especially due to the nuclear catastrophe that happened there.
Yes,
I remember to have read that Japanese government has just transferred about $43 billion to TEPCO, to the utility that ran Fukushima, and this will not be the last transfer of money to TEPCO that will be needed. So we are talking also about huge amounts of money that come with nuclear catastrophes. So as long as they don't come, it's fine, and that's the reason why nuclear power seems to be so cost efficient, why it seems to be so cheap in our countries, because we don't price in this possibility of a nuclear catastrophe and the cost of a nuclear catastrophe. But once it comes, the society, the economy will be heavily burdened, and this will come as a big, of course, drawback for a country with nuclear capacities, which faces a catastrophe. As long as it doesn't happen, it's all fine on the cost side.
But if it does, Japan's paying a huge price right now. More feedback online. Michigan says, this is what the U.S. should have begun work on 20 years ago when our economy was on all burners. Dora says, Germany is setting a great example. Sandra in Cranston, Rhode Island. Sandra, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Tom, I was a founding organizer of the first successful anti-nuclear plant fight in the country in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It happened the same spring as Three Mile Island. In fact, before Three Mile Island, we had planned a little meeting to get maybe 20 people together, and 400 came when Three Mile Island happened. Mm-hmm. Then we had a big rally and blocked the sale of the government land to the Narragansett Electric.
What about now and Germany's decision, Sandra? What about now?
I really applaud Angela Merkel, because we have to break away. We have to get out of the grip of energy companies that are and speculators that are playing credit default swaps on us now with energy money. And the reason business opposes this is because they won't get those huge profits in it.
Why not from wind? Why not from solar? Why not from alternatives?
We need wind. We need solar.
But I mean, won't people make profits there as well?
They will, but I don't think they will like they will with nuclear energy.
That's interesting. Note of skepticism right there. Arne Jungehan, what about the base Germany's starting from in terms of its current policy on conservation, on energy regulation? I mean, if you look at the United States, if it were to try and do something like this, in the U.S. it's about 20% of electrical production from nuclear. You know, could the U.S. Also lay down a 2022 marker if you think Germany has a shot at it? Could the U.S. or would they be starting from a similar base, Arne, or not?
Well, I think every country has to decide that on its own. Though with Fukushima, we realized, and Chernobyl, that these accidents have international implications. It's not up to me to make that judgment for the U.S. I mean, if it did,
is Germany have some advantage in trying this for 22 over the U.S. or not?
Well, I think we have the disadvantage that we have relatively low resources for renewable energies. That's a big plus for the United States. Mm-hmm. You have terrific resources that other countries are jealous about. I mean, if other countries had those resources, you would be able to deploy renewable energies at much lower cost than the Germans, because the winds are so strong in the Midwest and in the Texas region. So I think that is a big economic plus for the U.S. and that it can reap those economic benefits. However, for that, you will have to have the right investment conditions and the right targets for investors to signal we are going down this way. This will be a market not only for 2 years. It will not be only a tax break for 2 years, but we will provide you the certainty you can make some profit with these products, and then you will go that way. I would like to add one more thought on the question of nuclear power and the cost. I think if you look at the numbers, there will not be a disagreement among all of us that nuclear power is not able to compete in any free market. It needs a ton of subsidies. Once they operate, they are cheap on operation, but that does not include the hidden costs for waste, for decommissioning, and insurance. I mean, there's no insurance company around the world that is able to deliver an insurance for an accident. And if the Indian Point, 35 miles away from downtown Manhattan, if we have an accident there like we had in Fukushima, those economic impacts would be disastrous.
Well, it's an arresting goal set out by Germany. The whole world will definitely be watching. Arne Jungjohann with the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Marcel Viator with the German Council on Foreign Relations, and Charles Ebinger with the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much to each of you for being with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.